This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/cast.
What sort of future do you think we're heading for? How will we live as we slip into the 21st century?
Welcome to Forecast episode 36. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Scott Johnson.
And joining us once again is Patrick Norton. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Thank you for returning after that first episode. We didn't scare you off.
No, that was actually, I've seen you out of control, and that wasn't even close. I'm a little disappointed, Tom. I want to see mayhem. Mayhem.
We got two more episodes to go, so I think Tom still maybe have a little fire in him.
How about a little fire, Scarecrow?
A little bit of fire, yeah. And we also have returning with us this week in our second episode, Kristen Brandt from the Manic Mommies and various other sundry things. Kristen, welcome back.
Long time no talk.
Been a while. Yeah, welcome back.
Thanks for not moving for the past week.
It's tough.
Don't budge.
We got an email from one of our listeners, IT Steven, who Steven D. says, I just listened to episode 33 with Kim, that's Scott's lovely wife, talking about replicators creating food for us. I think it will be more like the Friedrich Pohl Heechee books, where the food is made from the base elements called Chon food, carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen, making up 99.99% of what we eat on a regular basis. Take those four elements, and we can either make wholly prepared food or the ingredients necessary to cook your own elegant meal. So the Food Network will be even more watched, and you can pre-program your replicator to make all the necessary ingredients for you to really work along with them. Add in the speedy cooking capabilities you guys talked about, and you can actually do some of the insane things Rachel Ray and Martha Stewart do daily. No more of the "here's one I prepared earlier today" crapola that always pisses my wife off. She doesn't believe they are really doing it. Think of the changes you'd be able to make. No more agri-industry and poor animals stuck in boxes or worries about GM food mutating our kids, though an X-Man for a kid might not be a bad thing.
Mm. It depends on which X-Man.
Yeah.
Yes, that is very true.
Yeah. You'd have to be pretty picky that way. But, the idea of assemble-on-demand food has some appeal to me. I think that's a decent idea. I may throw this past my wife and see if she's up to making a little chon next weekend. That sounds pretty good.
Coming over for some chon this weekend, Scott?
Yeah, a little bit of chon. Never hurt anybody. But, this sounds simple. It's all a matter of harnessing these elements in such a way that we could do all of this. So I actually, this is one of my favorite emails because it feels reasonably possible to me. Doesn't seem too crazy.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, this is the idea of everything is just made up of base elements, and if you can manipulate those elements, by golly, then you can do whatever you want with them. It's easier said than done, of course. I mean,
yeah, I was going to say,
That's all. I will say, I listened to that show with the wives. I thought they were both fabulous. And I am all for the replicators because if there's something that I'm constantly struggling with, it's the food. Because, the kids, they want to be fed every day.
Several times a day, in fact.
Several times.
They're so
wicked
greedy.
Annoying.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick, you've got a little guy who's a year old. He's older than a year, right?
Two and a half.
He's well down the road. So I'm guessing your 2.5-year-old ate like my 2.5-year-olds did, which was all the freaking time. So if they're going to do this, it better be available soon, and it ought to be able to produce corn dogs as quickly as it does, other
things. Well, only lately.
There would be no more pickiness, right? You just hook up a Chon IV to their arm. And they're
dream the delete expletive on, Tom. There will always be pickiness. There will be coming home. Well, actually, there will be like moving from one room to the next and 2 minutes later finding several hundred pounds of untasted, much less digested food lying next to the Chon generator with a smiling face going,
Chon's being piped right into their veins, Patrick.
Yeah.
Well, see, what the generator has to be able to do is then reabsorb it, because that is a big complaint many parents have. It's like all the wasted food. So, like, now it's made it, and it doesn't get eaten. It can be like, okay, I'll just take it back, and I'll make it into something else later. chicken.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, Nick, tonight we had chicken, and Nick wasted like this huge leg of chicken, and I just kept thinking, I don't know what to do with that now. I mean, I can't pack it up and give it to the homeless because that's just, you know, stupid. I mean, what am I going to do with this chicken?
Sir, first of all, you need a dog, and second of all, that's what the beatings are for. So he finishes the chicken leg.
The beating shall commence.
Notice the parents are laughing. I think just quiet.
No, I'm laughing too. I want to see y'all beat your kids. Who wouldn't?
He's thinking about getting his dog this chicken I got.
I am thinking of that. I'm also thinking that you all were talking about the wastage of food not eating. When Kristen originally said it, I was thinking of a different kind of wastage that could be then reused.
Your kid takes a dump. Sure. Yeah, I got it.
So.
Well, in theory, if Chon worked, right, it would be able to reprocess waste,
exactly.
Effluvium, since Tom's big on to the big words, I'll use one of my favorites, effluvium, and returning that to the giant Chon pile at the end of the pipe, which is a very kind of Neal Stephenson and Diamond Age kind of moment. Sorry,
Kristen? I would be terrified.
Now I have to say to, you know, they go, what is that? And I go, it's chicken, even though it's fish. So they'd be like, what is it? And I'm going to say, it's poop.
Even though it's fish, right? Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is I would never trust it. It's like, oh, what did we do last night? Well, the kids all, you know, they all crapped, and that's what we did last time. And now we're having filet mignon. Trust it. It's fine.
Crap again.
I don't know if I can do it.
Well, the truth is engineering food that actually is going to have a texture that even remotely resembles anything we would consider food, whether we're talking about an apple or you know, something more higher on the evolutionary scale, like a perfect brisket, preferably from certain parts of Texas.
Yeah,
that's interesting. Texas, the brisket in Texas, or Memphis Minis here in San Francisco, right? You know what I mean? The idea of actually being able to generate food like that, I mean, that's transporter territory. It's reassembling molecules in such a extraordinarily specific way. I'm excited. The whole idea of actually having decent brisket without having to leave the house or cook for 14 hours is – I want to see the engineering behind that, and then I want to ignore the engineering behind that and eat until my arteries explode with joy.
Exactly. Forget replicators. Let's just get transporter technology so that they can transport the brisket to you. They cook it
from
in Texas, and then bing, and it just arrives.
Yeah,
well, thank you, Stephen. You have obviously kicked off a very interesting discussion. And if you would like to try to top Stephen, you can send your predictions to forecastpodcast@gmail.com or post them up on our blog, forecastpodcast.com. I would like to turn our direction toward the long-term predictions. Is everyone sitting comfortably?
Yes. I always call them midterm. I should quit doing that. It's really, these are long-term. They're not crazy ass, but they're, you know.
They're it's short, long, and then wild, and it doesn't really matter what time frame the wild ones are in. But these are the long term predictions. These are the kind of weird, stranger, turn your world upside down predictions for maybe 100 years, maybe 1,000 years, and it's just whatever you got up your sleeve there, Patrick Norton. What do you got?
Man, I'm looking forward to the
that is such a
operating.
You're such a like called out in class when you weren't paying attention.
No, well, I thought we were doing a slightly longer term, not the full on.
It could be as long term as you want. Actually, it's very as long as it's not within the next 10, it's fine.
Operating system, basically computing being jacked into the socket on the side of your skull so you can have your GPS overlay and watch your movies inside your own head and have your perfect audio bypassing your imperfect ears and being stuffed straight into the nerve endings in some part of your skull.
Oh,
the old skull jacking.
Love that idea.
Really assimilated.
Well, would we, it seems like if we ever got to that stage, and this is one of those recurring themes on the show, it seems like before we get there, or if we got there, we would get there with ways outside of having to plug anything in. So I'm hoping it's not one of those deals where you got to sit down and plug something into your head. That would kind of suck. But,
well, I think wireless always fails compared to a wired connection. But
seriously.
That's just me, dude.
You're going to walk around all day a little bit dumb. Because you're on wireless, and then you get home, sit down in the easy chair, and the lazy boy just plugs right in. You don't even have to touch it. You just lean back, boom, all of a sudden you're incredibly smart.
Yeah, And we're are we talking that kind of jacked in, kind of Matrix style, big old thing in the back of your head, or do you see a more elegant solution to?
I would hope for a more elegant solution, but you know the early adopters are going to have like the belt pack with the wire stitched up to the back of their skull and a jack hanging off that looks like a freaking cheap guitar cable. And then like 2 years later, it's going to be this like little 1-inch golf ball sized lump on the back of somebody's neck. And like 2 years after that,
Apple will come out with one.
Yeah, and it'll like cover your skull with a shining silver Apple logo, but the interface will be so freaking awesome, you'll be willing to be a walking 24/7 advertisement for the version of Steve that's been downloaded into a box to be consulted by Apple technicians and engineers until hell freezes over and the sun swallows the earth. Because you know, if anybody's going to be downloaded so his personality can live on, the shareholders of Apple are going to have Steve sucked into a box so he can be consulted later on.
He's made of Sean.
Wow, that was kind of epic. Kristen, how do you land on this idea of your life constantly being jacked into what sounds to me would be better than reality anyway?
I think it sounds horrible. It doesn't sound fun at all.
Patrick's future.
I don't like that prediction. No. I guess I feel like I'm already plugged in all the time and missing everything that's going on actually around me. So the idea of, I have this vision of walking into my living room and everybody sitting at the couch, plugged in, glazed eyes. Well, let's face it, that happens already. Come in and I say, please avert your eyes from the TV and talk to your mother.
Indeed. So it's a good point that maybe this is the preparation stage, though, for us to get used to this idea of having ourselves jacked in all the time. And maybe as a throwback to our first episode with you guys, you'll finally get your movies on demand when you want them right there in your freaking head.
Yeah, in your eyes.
Oh, well, that's fine.
And that way they're guaranteed. See, we talked about the money model. They're guaranteed to get their money per person because you can't have three or four people except for some hackers who figured out how to hack into somebody's brain and share it.
I love it when that happens. You thought viruses sucked now. Wait till they're running around inside of your head, popping up advertisements.
Oh, my gosh.
What will this do to the pwn-to-own competition?
Oh, I don't know. You'd have to explain to me.
Pwn-to-own competition is it a DEF CON or is it a black hat? I suddenly am blanking, but it's essentially a competition where they put like a laptop or recently they started to put smartphones and say, okay, hackers at this convention, whoever can crack into it first following these rules gets the thing plus a cash prize.
I think we did a CanSec West did one, like ZDI sponsored someone. MacBook Air falls in 2 minutes at Pwn to Own.
What do you get when you Pwn to Own somebody's brain?
Oh my gosh.
Uncontrolled bladder that was fine before. I mean, that's the problem, right? That's the problem is it wouldn't just be, combined computing power. Maybe it would be, but it seems like if you're trying to take somebody down, it would be those kinds of things. It's like, I can't see. My eyes don't work since I clicked on that pop-up I shouldn't have clicked on.
It really does make you go blind.
It's just a pretty lady with no shirt on. I thought it was okay, and now I can't walk. My left leg is like a freaking noodle. I mean, that's what it would be.
Well, it depends on also, like, now thinking of the whole, like, security implications of what's tapped into on your body, definitely want to, like, turn obviously you have to make sure Facebook is not controlling the sort of privacy and physical body control options, because in which case, like, everything would be on, and the first time you connect to the internet, you would simultaneously...
They would keep changing it, too. So even though you turned off all your bodily functions, you'd turn it back on, and then you'd have to go through and turn them off individually, right arm, right leg, left leg.
Why am I whizzing again? I thought I'd...
Son of a bitch!
Yeah, that would not be fun. I don't like this future. This is a terrible future. I like the idea of it. I like the idea of it. I think it has merit, but it just seems like we're going to screw that up.
So you're good with the sort of like, not having to wear headphones to hear music as long as it doesn't end up with something being able to remotely control your ability to not pee your own pants or twitch.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You've said it very well. I think I couldn't have said it any better. That is exactly my fear.
Well, let's turn back to Chon for a moment, because our emailer, Stephen, pointed out that he got this idea from a Friedrich Pohl book, and this podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks. They have more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers, and listeners of this podcast get a free audiobook from Audible. So all you got to do is go to audiblepodcast.com/cast to cash it in, and I'm going to recommend Gateway by Friedrich Pohl. It is available narrated by Oliver Wyman and Robert J. Sawyer. So if you want to get into learning about the Hechi and start to figure out how all this Chon food works, check it out, audiblepodcast.com/cast.
Awesome. And I may check that book out. I'd also recommend that people check out The Name of the Wind by Patrick Rothfuss. I think I brought it up on the show before. Such an awesome book, and can't wait to see what he does next. So I would like to highly recommend that. Kristen, you're up on deck, girl.
Hello.
You've got to give us your long-term predictions. What do you see happening in the next hundreds, maybe
She's
thousands?
She's not on deck. She up to bat.
I was going to say I've been on deck, right?
No, I'm not. Pressure. Yeah, you've been on deck. See, there's my sports analogies don't never work. They always break down.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's if people remember from last week, we were talking about alternative fuels. And actually, my long-term prediction kind of goes along that, which is I think we're going to start – how do I say this? Makes me sound smart. I think we're going to actually roll back on some of the things that we've been doing. Like I think we're going to become more – our houses are going to become more self-sufficient as we introduce geothermal and solar. And I think more people are going to be living off the grid, as it were. But it's not difficult to do because the technology's there. I mean, we just installed a geothermal
system. If you can afford it.
Yeah.
If you can afford it, it's going to become more affordable. It's going to become more the norm. I think also, we used to have houses that were built to deal with the regional, you know, weather patterns and climate.
You're in Texas, now, right?
Huh?
You're down in Texas, right?
No, I'm in Boston.
Why did I think you were in Texas?
Because you were thinking of brisket.
You got
and that's
so
all
excited
you
about brisket earlier. You wished she was in Texas.
Manic Mommies is doing a gathering in San Antonio. It struck me as kind of an awesome place to have a gathering. But sorry. But yeah, you're like Texas is the place where they did all these amazing traditional housing designs. And then they walked away from all of them, all of this incredibly thermally efficient, intelligent, traditional design, and gets replaced by 7,000 square foot boxes that require insane amounts of energy to make habitable in the Texas sun.
Exactly. That's exactly my point, is that they're basically building the same houses up here in Boston. They're building them in Texas now, or they're building them down in New Orleans, where the houses that used to be built in, say, New Orleans had, you know, big front porches and lots of breezeways to take advantage of the weather pattern. So I think, like, we're just going to kind of roll back on all of these things and be smarter about how we're building. And then on the food thing, I think you're going to see more. I think the idea that you're shipping your food from all over the world is going to just seem insane to people. Like that you have to have grapes year round and they had to come from Venezuela. Like, I think at some point when we look at how we're going to save energy and we're going to be more environmental, all of that's going to be cuckoo.
So when you look at the international food market, which is a little weird, I'll give you that, because you get strange stuff different times of the year, and it's all coming from nowhere around me. It's coming from, you know, far off lands. What right. about a place where they can only grow grapes, and this also represents one of the only ways that they've found in the modern century to have an economy? What do we tell those people?
They can only grow grapes?
Yeah, let's say that. I mean, there's got to be some. I'm using grapes as a terrible example.
No,
let's
I say, know what you're saying.
Yeah, let's say it's just the one thing they can make.
California may hit some hard times, and we'll need to be able to sell grapes to the world.
It will have fallen off the country
China.
By this point. Yeah. It's going to be gone. Utah's going to be lakefront. But no.
Hey, I'm ready for it. I got some nice property ready for that whole flood. It's going to be great.
I'll admit to not having thought about the full world impact, but I think when we're talking about shipping oil from food from other places, I just think we need to think more. I know we talk about thinking locally, but I don't know. I think in 100 years from now, they'll look back and say, why did everybody have to have grapes 12 months out of the year?
Yeah. Well, what were you going to say, Patrick?
Possibility that we'll have some kind of hydroponic solution where, you can grow grapes wherever you are in the world. Doesn't matter. You can create the conditions under which they grow.
Well, what I was going to say is, I think Kristen has a point. I mean, we've been shifting foodstuffs around regions and then around the world for hundreds of years, first by ship. But I find it absolutely mind blowing that it cost me like $20 to FedEx 3 sheets of paper, 500 miles, but I can buy a bundle of grapes that were grown on another continent, for $2. You know what I mean? Like, when you think about what it costs you to fly, I'm going to fly my ass. My 235-pound ass is going cross-country, and that's several hundred dollars. But people can ship a pallet of bananas or whatever they're shipping by. It's amazing to realize how many foods are actually – or flowers, for that matter, are shipped air – basically are air freighted into the country. And it's cheap. Flowers are really cheap for the most part. Food is really cheap for the most part. And it blows my mind that the food is, the genetic engineering on food and the packing has gotten so bizarre where they've created, they've created particular varieties that, will ripen off or if you haven't tasted an actual real piece of fruit that was grown locally, you think of this as being a ripe piece of fruit. But it blows my mind the amount of intercontinental transport of foodstuffs that is done and kept relatively cheap. My wife and I almost all of our food is within 100 miles of San Francisco. It's really easy up here. There's a lot of places with near year-round growing seasons. But it's blown my mind that there's certain vegetables and fruits that I had traditionally written off as being absolutely disgusting. But when you actually taste one that was grown in the manner to which it was supposed to be grown and consumed, it's suddenly a vastly more appealing piece of foodstuff.
Yeah. To expand a little bit on what Kristen said, too, this reminds me of all this conversation going on about Arizona and not really talking about the political end of things. But in Arizona, I'm always struck by this. My brother and his family live down there. That place is not hospitable to human life in any freaking way. The only way that it actually is on borrowed and paid for electricity generated by other states and other resources, water generated by other states and other resources. And I think in 100 years, if they look back and go, I can't believe we shipped bananas halfway across the world when we could have grown them here, I'm going to look at Arizona and go, I can't believe you freaking existed.
Or like, Las Vegas, dude. I mean, talk about a place that shouldn't exist the way, naturally speaking.
Yeah, right. It's just a big suck, It's just like,
yeah.
Blah.
I went to Scottsdale once, and it was standing there at the resort. It was like standing, you were in this beautiful, lush green, place, and then right outside you could see like desert. And
yeah.
It was completely artificial, just water being used in ways in places it wasn't supposed to be used. And while it is beautiful, we probably shouldn't be living there. I'm sorry, anyone who's listening to Arizona. Please don't send me hate mail.
Yeah, John McCain will send you hate mail. Yeah.
But there's a flip side to that, these are places that either had indigenous populations, very small ones by comparison, mm-hmm. or have had, sort of like fringe cattle farming, ranching. When you look at the Imperial Valley in Southern California, it's this place that was essentially the most fertile soil, in the country, even more so than the dirt in Illinois, dare I suggest, Tom. because there was no local source of water, it was basically this big empty place. It's this bottom of an ocean, and they started moving water in there, and all of a sudden it becomes this insane 350-day-a-year magnificent 350-day-a-year growing season, right? And then they can just jam crops through there. And if they manage to not sort of salt out the soil through the irrigation, it can be this extraordinary place to produce food and other things. I hate to see, you know, cotton being grown down there. But the flip side is part of the reason there's so many people in Arizona and Las Vegas and other places is that there's 300 million people in the United States now. There were 100 million 40 years ago, or less than 200 million 40 years ago, and all of these new people have to live somewhere.
Don't forget that living in Arizona or Nevada or even Southern California, if you roll back 150 years or so, is like living on the moon. I mean, it was a goal to develop the technology that would allow man to expand the livable horizons. So, yeah, it's easy to look at it now and go, overconsumption, overpopulation, waste of water. But the impulse to get us there, I mean, this is a technological marvel. And we wouldn't say, like, why would we ever send men to the moon or Mars? That's inhospitable and a waste of resources. Well, actually, there's probably somebody out there saying that. But but most of us would say, no, that's an amazing achievement. And, of course, we want to do that. So there's kind of that other side of the coin there to remember, like, that's how we ended up doing this, because, you know, we were just progressing.
Southern Utah is the same way. I mean, St. George is a town I would love to live in. I'd love to retire down there. And it's about an hour outside of Vegas and just as inhospitable. There is nothing growing out there. But this you know, huge, thriving
community. I like sage. And I resent the fact that you are suggesting that sage is nothing. I spend a lot of time in the Great Basin in a lot of places that generally are only inhabited by miners and ranchers and crazy people who wander through the desert. But, you know, St. George also was the vacation spot for when Salt Lake City got too cold in the winter.
Yeah, that's true. No, it's true. I mean, where I live in the Salt Lake Valley, it's beautiful. It's seasonal. We have fertile ground and there's water and there's runoff and there's all the things you'd need. And all of that seems great and wonderful and seems like the natural way of things. But I don't know that I'm. You know, like I said, I can sit here and say, the freaking desert, arid hellhole. Why are we living there? But then I really like going there. Like, I like hanging out there, staying there. And, you know, so I'm torn on this issue.
And it may not, I mean, it may be, first of all, I heard a great story on NPR recently just about the environmental impact of air conditioning. And you know, that's part of the problem is we're just burning a lot of energy to cool places. And so I'm not saying, you know, we shouldn't be living in some of these hotter areas. But again, we need to design our, you know, I think our homes are just going to be designed better so that we can live there without the same kind of environmental impact.
Without the waste.
You have to accept that, it's tough to live in the desert. Unless you're going to actually put your house underground, living in the desert in year-round 60-degree temperatures or having 60-degree house internal temperatures in August is a little unnatural.
We can do it. We just need to be smarter about it.
Geothermal.
All right, thank you guys again. This has been fantastic. I'm sorry that we only have one more episode to do with you. I'm gonna miss it because I'm really enjoying these conversations. But that doesn't mean that you guys die when the episodes are over. You have lots of other things that you do on the internet. Kristen, tell people about some of yours.
So I am co-host of Manic Mommies, a podcast for moms, and it can be found at manicmommies.com. And I also write a couple of blogs, one for realsimple.com and another for businessbalance.com and you know, stuff like that.
Excellent. Go check those out. And Patrick Norton, you're around, right?
I am, actually. Texilla.com, it's the video program I do with Veronica Belmont. We're all about technology and making it do as we will, making it behave, to steal somebody's really good line. And ACNation.tv, which is a show I do with Robert Herron, which is all about high-definition content and making your home theater a better place to, ignore your children and walk away from the world and be all immersive and excited and stuff. How's that for a really bad sentence, Tom?
I have to have my husband listen to that one.
That was good.
Go watch both of these shows. They're fantastic. And my co-host is too modest to say, but he hosts one of the most popular podcasts on the internet, The Instance, at theinstance.net. If you're at all interested in Warcraft, go check it out.
Kristen laughs because she is not the wowhead she should be. But yeah, if you're into World of Warcraft, chances are you already know about the show. But if you haven't heard of it for some crazy reason, definitely go check that out. And you can follow me on Twitter as well at twitter.com/extralife. Tom, where can they find you? You got some cool stuff going on.
TomMerritt.com. That's got it all.
All right.
Yeah, just check that out. And don't forget to leave comments at our website, forecastpodcast.com, or send us an email to forecastpodcast@gmail.com. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
But it's only 32 years away.